Good morning. We actually only have one verse this morning as a text, which is quite unusual for me, but don't worry, in the sermon I will make it up with lots of other verses. But if you have a Bible, we're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. However, I have this verse memorized in the King James, so no doubt throughout the sermon I will be referring to what I remember, but this is our verse. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Or God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. Let's pray. Father, this is your word, and it contains precious promises. And Lord, in my life, very few promises that have impacted me more than this one. Lord, I thank you for this promise, that you have not given us as believers a spirit of fear. We do not have to be timid. That is not from you. But instead, you have given us, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, power and love and a sound mind, a disciplined mind, sound judgment. So, Lord, this morning we're going to talk about overcoming fear. Fear not, Jesus said repeatedly in the Gospels. Fear not. Do not be afraid. Now, Lord, it's easy in our day and age to be afraid. Every stage of life has its own set of fears that come with it. God, the things I fear in my mid-50s are not things that I feared in my 30s. The things I feared in my 30s certainly weren't things I feared as a young person. So we all have fear, but we thank you that we can rest assured, if we're believers in Christ, that the fear doesn't come from you. Instead, you have given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of wisdom, disciplined thinking, sound mind. So Lord, open our minds this morning. God, encourage our hearts. Give us love, all from the Holy Spirit that resides in us. And we'll thank you for it. Amen. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So says James 1:5 in the King James Version. I've prayed that prayer, I've quoted that verse in my life literally thousands, ten thousands of times perhaps. I started asking for wisdom as a teenager, through college, through adulthood, as a married man, as a father, and certainly as a pastor. It is by far the most precious promise, I think, in the Bible to me. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That's King James for saying he won't hold it against you if you keep asking. Okay. Now, parents and grandparents kind of know the frustration of the little one who keeps asking, right? Well, God doesn't feel that way towards us when we ask for wisdom. I wish wisdom was a one-time gift, you know. Even Solomon, the world's wisest man, you know, God said, I'll give you anything you want. He said, I'd like to have wisdom. And God gave him wisdom. And as you know, he ran out of it before the end of his life and messed everything up. So God wants us to keep asking for wisdom. He doesn't hold that against us. And I pray it quite often. But the second prayer I pray the most, and the second passage that I quote to myself the most, is this one. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and love and a sound mine. I pray that quite often. I pray it almost every time I preach, because by nature, I get uptight. I get nervous. I didn't sleep well last night because I knew it was going to rain today and ruin my picnic. Okay, that's just the way it is. Okay, so I have taken God at His word here many times that He has not given me a spirit of fear. We have a lot to be afraid of. I mean, you know, every generation, I assume, had their own set of fears. We certainly have ours. And one of the questions I got, as you know, I've been dealing with topics that were suggested by you. One of the questions I got was, how do we overcome our fears? What do we do about all this fear that we are surrounded by? And immediately, my mind went to 2 Timothy 1:7. Now, in our verse here, if you're looking at 2 Timothy, I realize that the immediate context of this verse, of course, was a personal letter that Paul wrote to his young protege and pastor, Timothy. And that the immediate context is Paul was writing to encourage Timothy. He was particularly writing Timothy to encourage him to not neglect the gift that he had been given, the gift of his teaching ministry, of his preaching ministry. Apparently, sometimes he was afraid to exercise that. So in verse 6, Paul reminds him, now you don't be afraid to use your gift. Don't be timid about your gift. And his reasoning that he gives Timothy, that he didn't have to be timid to use his gift, was the fact that God had given us, and by that I think he means all believers, God had given us not a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. So I think in verse 7, even though it's written in the context of a personal letter to Timothy, and by application I think all pastors, these are called, 2 Timothy is a pastoral epistle, so by application I think it's written to churches, and particularly church leadership, but the undergirding of his point, I believe, is a universal promise that we find in verse 7, that we, as believers, us, have not been given a spirit of fear. So he takes that universal promise, that universal application, to undergird his encouragement of Timothy. Don't be afraid to use your gift, because fear doesn't come from God. Instead comes power and love, and a sound mind. In other words, if you are living in fear, it is because you're not drawing on the spiritual resources God has given you. If you're living in fear, it's because you are not drawing on the spiritual resources God gave you. One of Jesus' most repeated messages was that we could have courage, not be afraid. John 14:1, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Again, notice, belief is the antidote to a troubled heart. Next. Peace I leave with you, Jesus said. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. So in this effort to keep courage, God, He gave us help. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him, because He, the Spirit, abides with you and will be with you. 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. But take courage, I have overcome the world. The book of Romans. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. How do I know that? Well, if the Spirit indeed dwells in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to him. Now, stop there a minute. What's a mark of a Christian? The mark of a Christian is you have the Holy Spirit. Okay? If you don't have the Spirit, then you don't belong to Christ. If you have Christ, if you do belong to Christ, then you have the Spirit. Okay? There's none of this second level, you know, two stages of Christians with the Spirit and Christians without. If you don't have the Spirit, you're not a Christian. But the good news is, because you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. He indwells you. Christ sent him to be your help. Help to what? To be of good courage and not fear. He hasn't forsaken you. And the world you'll have plenty to fear, plenty of tribulation. But don't worry, I've overcome the world, Jesus says, and I've given you the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 1:14. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Now notice, the Holy Spirit who indwells in us. John put it this way. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. The Holy Spirit is in us, and greater is he who is in us than he is in the world. In the world, you have tribulation. In the world, you will never run out of things to be afraid of. Right? In the world, you can always turn on the news and find something new to be afraid of. Don't be afraid. You've been given the Helper. You've been indwelled by the Holy Spirit. If you're living in fear, it's not from God. So in our text, for God has not given, notice the word given is past tense. So these things are already on deposit. God has not given a spirit of fear, but he has given us, again, past tense. When we were saved, when we were given the gift of the Holy Spirit at salvation, we were born again by the Spirit, we were baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. At that moment of salvation, when we got the Holy Spirit, part and parcel with that was the Spirit of power and love and a sound mind or sound judgment or discipline. Okay? It's past tense. It was given at salvation. So in verse 7, in our text, you'll notice there's a negative and a positive. The negative is a neglect of the Holy Spirit. If I'm living in fear, I'm neglecting the Holy Spirit. The positive is the influence of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So he uses not, but. Not fear, but power. Not fear, but love. Not fear, but self-discipline. So three very easy points this morning. Okay, when you are afraid. When you are afraid, first of all, ask for God's power. When you are afraid, ask for God's power. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Now again, that was a promise made about the day of Pentecost, when the church would be birthed, and part of that birth would be the coming of the Holy Spirit, and every Christian since then has partaken in that promise of the Holy Spirit. We've looked at the verses we had just read. So with the coming of the Spirit comes what? Power. God has given us a spirit of power. Ephesians 1:18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance to the working of the strength of his might. Next. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. To him who is able to do far more abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works where? Within us. When tempted towards cowardice. Now that word, in verse 7, the New American Standard says, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity. King James and the ESV says, has not given us a spirit of fear. The word literally is cowardice. When tempted towards cowardice, pray for courage. When tempted toward cowardice, pray for courage. And the good news is that strength of courage is already within you. They came with the Holy Spirit, who indwells you and who has sealed you unto the day of redemption. A verse I did not put up there, so we can turn to it, is 2 Corinthians 12. And he said to me, Jesus said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." 2 Corinthians 12:9. "Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." Now notice, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, it's something you already have. "For power is perfected in weakness." So what is the one requirement to have God's power? You have to be weak. You have to be honest enough to admit, "I need your power." If I'm, you know, self-confident and, you know, resting upon my own gifts and ingenuity, then I don't need God's power. Paul would rather boast about his weaknesses. So God's power shows forth. Our weaknesses qualify us for God's strength. Our weaknesses qualify us for God's strength. So let's make that practical, okay? As a Christian, we can attempt scary things for God. We can attempt scary things for God. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit who indwells us and gives us power. So when you are afraid, ask for God's power. Secondly, when you are afraid, ask for God's love. When you are afraid, ask for God's love. Again, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love. Romans 5:5. "And hope does not disappoint." Why? Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts. How? Through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Part and parcel with the gift of the Spirit is supernatural love. Love from outside myself. The love of God that has been shed abroad in my heart. This is a Christian, a mark of a Christian, is love. By nature, you may not be loving. But by new nature, the love of God resides in your heart. And it should be shed abroad. It should shine forth. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. Okay. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. If the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, then that perfect love should cast out fear. So when afraid, ask for God's love. It's a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Christians defeat our enemies with love. Christians defeat our enemies with love. You have an enemy, you're afraid. What has God equipped you with to combat that? Love. Matthew 5:44. "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Is that your first response when people persecute you? You might pray for your enemies, but what are you praying? Right? But he says, listen, pray for your enemies. That's our first line of defense. We defeat our enemies with love. Now, the verse goes on. God's not given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Apart from the Holy Spirit, love and power often seem to work at cross purposes. So we need something more. We need wisdom. See, in the world's way of thinking, there's either power or there's love. We think of love as, you know, soft and kind and cuddly, and power being the opposite. So, you know, are we going to lean towards the power side or are we going to lean towards the love side? And the fact is, for Christians, they're both, and they're merged with wisdom. So when you are afraid, ask God for wisdom. Now, the word in our text, translated discipline in the New American Standard Version, that is the only time that particular Greek word shows up in the New Testament. Now, as you know, proper translation of words depends heavily on how is that word used in other places, in other contexts. When there's a situation where there's only one use of that word, it's very difficult to know exactly how it should be translated. Therefore, New American Standard says discipline. King James says not give a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. Other translations translate it differently because it's such a unique word. It's the only place it's used in the New Testament. But it has something to do with your thinking. Self-disciplined. The battle begins in your mind. What is the key to overcoming our fears? It's how you, what are you going to think about it? Are you going to claim the promise of 2 Timothy 1:7 that God hasn't given you a spirit of fear? Or are you going to give in to your fears? Are you going to dwell on your fears? Are you going to obsess about your fears? Are you going to only choose media that feeds into your fear? What are you going to do? When you're afraid, you need to ask for God's wisdom. The battle begins in the mind. Philippians 4, 4 through 8. Very familiar verse. I understand that. But let's not let his familiarity rob us of what Paul is saying. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, even when you're afraid. Let your gentle spirit be made known to all men. I mean, you've been given a spirit of power, but you exercise it in love. For the Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, then, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Okay? Think on these things. Think of what God has given us in Christ. Think of the Word of God. Think on Scripture. Memorize those Scriptures. Be able to quote those Scriptures. Be able to pray those Scriptures back to God. Think on good things. I don't know how this is going to come across, and maybe it won't be liked. I don't know, but I'll just say it anyway, because I have the spirit of power and love and a sound mind, and not a spirit of fear. Some of you, if you want to overcome your fears, the best thing you could do. You ready? Turn off the news. Even Fox News. Think on these things. The Holy Spirit has given us the ability to control ourselves. Okay? The Holy Spirit has given us the ability to control ourselves. And it begins by the way you think. The moment you feel your emotions tilting towards fear, stop. Remember that God has not given us a spirit of fear. He commands us to release our fears to Him and not to let our hearts be troubled. The power of the Lord shatters the power of Satan. God's power has been released in our hearts, giving us the ability to refuse right and wrong, refuse wrong and obey the right. So here's a little diagnostic. We'll close with this. Does fear tempt you to abandon your responsibilities and take the easy way out? Have you asked the Holy Spirit to give you the power to endure? Have you asked the Holy Spirit to love another person through you? Have you asked the Holy Spirit to manifest discipline in your life? You can, because He's already given you that Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, I think the process of Christian growth, or sanctification as we call it, is an increasing knowledge of what we have in Christ. That's what Paul said in Ephesians, some of the verses we read. We need to grow in our knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ. What have we, as born-again believers, as Christians, what have we been given? What do we possess? Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Do not let your heart be troubled. So, Lord, we're all tempted to fear, God. If I wasn't tempted to fear so much, I wouldn't quote this verse so much. But as you told us, as James told us in his book, if you lack wisdom, keep asking. If you lack courage, keep asking. So, Lord, we thank You that You have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Lord, I would pray perhaps this week that everybody maybe write that verse down and memorize it. Think on it. Dwell on it. Quote it to themselves. Quote it to somebody else. Pray it. You don't want us fearful. We don't have to live in fear. And we thank You that the victory has been won through Christ. And we pray these things in His name. Amen.